It's going to take longer. Pietri said to me, he's going to go do the youth this morning. I said, I kind of sense it's going to take a bit longer with worship. But so God kept the youth busy this morning. He didn't make them sick, but he's just keeping them busy. And it's just amazing how God is speaking. I'm just going to jump into what I want to share this morning, try to cut it in half, maybe take the sides off. No, I'm just joking. I'll keep it very long. And then just, yeah, it's just amazing how the Lord just speaks to us. And when he has something on his heart, he kind of makes it clear. Albeit in the visions, the words, the scriptures, and the worship, the songs, and whatever was shared by the Spirit, how it just echoes what he was speaking to me about in this week. Last week, I was so pumped, walked out of here. It was really a great service, and the word really blessed me in preparation last week and just delivering that message of saying, do you see a problem or do you see potential? Are you seeing with the flesh or are you seeing according to the Spirit? Are you seeing what God sees or are you seeing what the culture is seeing? And it just stirred me, and so many people just afterward chatted to me about it and high-fived, and it was all amazing. Then Monday morning about 4 or 5 o'clock, Edna wakes me up and says she can't stand. She's throwing up and her head is spinning. And she's down with a sickness that we don't understand. We have no idea what's going on. And all of a sudden you're on this high and it's just like, whoa, amazing. Don't see problems, see potential, see prophecy, see plans, blah, blah, blah. And now your wife is like throwing up and she's freaking out and she's thinking she's dying. And I'm like, you're not dying, I want to sleep. And it's just a mess. And so in that moment you get confronted with what you've obviously been sharing and what you've been preaching on. And it didn't go away instantly either. So by Tuesday, it got even worse. That she had vertigo, that her head is spinning, that even when she lies down, she was just out of it. And she couldn't function at all. Tuesday was, as I said, much worse, throwing up, etc. And so all of a sudden, it's like a shock for your system. But God, potential, plan, come on, just get with the program. And it's like, I don't know what's going on. You're phoning people and they're saying you need to go for tests and then she needs to be taken up in hospital now and they need to run tests and do blood tests and you're like starting to wonder what the heck is going on. And you just go back and pray. Our accountability partner came through from Cape Town. We prayed together and as if peace came and God said to me 3 days. And I'm like, awesome Lord, 3 days. And now you're thinking, hectic, what's going on? Is this a spiritual attack? Is it only physical? Is it both? What is it? And anyway, I'll get back to that a bit later. But today I want to just tag a bit on last week and saying that, well, the question I raised last week was, can you see? Can you see potential? Can you still see prophetically? Can you still see the goodness of God? And in the midst of turmoil in a week like most people and our dearest Cape has been thrown into this week, it's a kind of difficult question to answer until you dig deep. Even in preparation, luckily I knew that half of the churches at the camp or away on holiday, etc. Last week we were bursting out of our seams and I knew we're not going to be a big bunch this week, but I knew God had a very specific message for this morning. So I believe if you're here, which you are by the way, you're here, God has got a specific message for you this morning. It might have been in worship and it might be in both. But guys, do we have eyes of a trusting heart? I just realized last week I was so on a high and I was so pumped by the word and it wasn't all emotion, it was deep in the spirit and I know it's God and I know that's the way we should live. The Ezekiel, Jonah, David, Moses, Jesus, Paul, Angus Buchan, Heidi Baker, you can just name where there was problems and issues and challenges where God just comes and he turns it around and he just gives prophecy, he just gives plan, he just gives potential. So we've got ample opportunity just to have a look at those testimonies, but we need to sometimes just check our own hearts. When your wife gets sick, when stuff happens in life, when you're just constantly just facing headwinds, You're facing walls, you're facing mountains, things that you had planned doesn't work out in the 10 years or in the 12 years that you had them planned for. You need to get to an honest place like I believe we are this morning. And just check, do I have eyes of a trusting heart? Now to see potential, we said last week, you need to have hope. Just quickly, what is hope to you? Any answer, anybody, what is hope to you? Jesus, great, very spiritual, a bit less spiritual. Whatever you're going through is not forever. But just explain the word hope to me. Just what do you see if you think hope? The expectation of good, yes, the expectation of good. What else is hope to you? Possibilities, yes, possibilities. Anything else? What is hope? John, what is hope to you? Expectation, yes. Yes, seeing God's promises come to fruition. Who's ever been left without hope for an instant, for a moment, even for a season? Who's ever been without hope? I think one will be a lie if you say you've never been in that place. And so there's a bit of a cliche, but if we say, yes, I want to see as God sees, yes, I want to see potential, and I'm not knocking, that is the truth, and I want us to be a people that live like that. I want for me and my family to constantly, whatever we face, to be people that see it as God sees things. Or either people, circumstances, our country, politics, economics, finance, whatever it is, we want that. But if you have hope, you know that there's, as the cliche goes, that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. That in a week like this, that is actually light at the end of the tunnel. That is when you have hope. You've got an expectation. You know that the promises of God will come through. So hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. A feeling of trust. Remember that word, trust. A feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. A feeling of trust. So actually much of life revolves around a hope. Okay? Is it only true for Christians? Is it true for the guys with their big salaries and their nice suits and their mansions? There's also, Matt, is it the same for the guy that's out on the street tonight? Hope is a very general thing, and everybody has to either go for it, have it, or be in the process of seeking it. Life so much revolves around hope. I said, yeah, vision is actually a hope. If you have vision, you have hope. All vision is not godly. All hope is definitely not godly. I can tell you about a couple of shocking things of what I hoped for when I was not a believer, a spirit-filled believer. I hoped for a bunch of stuff that was not of God, and you won't find very close to the Bible. Let's be honest. So hope is a general thing, but we're talking about a godly hope here. I also believe that, you know, as I've said, that hope can either be of God or of the flesh. It can be of God or not, of the spirit or of the flesh. But all humans have this thing that they need hope, they want hope. I said that we've got a primal or a primitive hope, all of us. Two things you can narrow it down, each and every single human being. You want to be safe. You want to be secure. You want to be safe. And you want to be secure because you want to survive. You want to survive. Why are we talking about lack? Why are we talking about finances sometimes? Why are we talking about these things? Why are we talking about... Bottom line is, guys, we want to survive. Look what is happening up in the Garden Route. Mansions are burning down. Shacks are burning down. Cars are burning down. Everything's burning down, but people just want to survive. They might lose everything, but they want to keep their life. So a lot of life revolves around the mere fact that I want to survive. Now, you can say that survival for somebody defined living in Kaimandi is totally different than survival sometimes defined for somebody that lives in Constantia. And I'm not saying one or the other is right. We have different definitions of survival, unfortunately, but that the gospel can help you out with if you're a Christian. But let's just agree on this. We all have this primitive, primal instinct of wanting a hope, having a hope, just to freaking survive and have it the easiest way possible. We want to be safe and secure. We want to survive. Can Can we agree on that? And so when we say potential, when we throw these words around, it is important to know that we need to keep a hope. But we need to make sure, upon what is that hope based and for what is that hope? What am I hoping for? I'm hoping to survive. I'm hoping to be safe. In the process, I just had a look at the Greek, the Hebrew, around this word hope. And I'm just going to quickly have a look there. You can go to the next slide. No, we're long ahead now. You can go to the next one. Sorry, I had to skip a whole lot because otherwise we won't finish. You can go back one, two slides back. There you go. Thank you. You can stay there. And so I had a look at the definitions quickly of hope. As we said, expectation, confidence. And then in the Hebrew, the tikvah. That is quite an interesting one. Just go back one slide, please. Yes, there it is. Tikvah. It literally means a cord or an attachment. That's so strange. That this Hebrew mean would, if you define it, should break it down, amongst other, means a cord. Have you ever heard about a lifeline? Somebody just been given a lifeline. Isn't Christ our lifeline? When you're out at sea, when you're lost, unsaved, lost at sea, He comes and He's your lifeline. And it's almost like that, is that we all just want a rope. We just all want this lifeline, a cord that you can attach yourself and say that I'll be safe for eternity. I'll be secure. My family will be safe and secure. And if you walk out there, if you go to the shops, if you go into the business, into the marketplace, if you go into the chat rooms and onto Facebook, you'll just quickly, when you look through these lenses, you'll just quickly discern what are people believing, what is the hope for safety and security in their lives. So that is the aansien van mense, the pride of life. What other people think. For them, it's a place of safety. If other people think I'm cool, I'm safe. If I'm rich, if I've got enough money in the bank, that's my cord. That's my rope. I'm holding on to this. This is it. I have my hope for my safety and security. And so you can just go on playing this game, but it's quite important that we also take stock. So it's literally a cord and expectation. It's almost like a lifeline. Other words just flung in there quickly is a feeling of trust, confidence, hope, safety, security, and one of surely. A place of absolute trust and confidence. And you can just go see, it's repeated all over. So our hope as Christians should be where? Where should our hope be? I know it's such a odd question because it's a quite obvious answer, but where should our hope be as Christians? In Christ, in God, yes, in Him. Is it always? Guys, is our hope for fulfillment always in God or in Christ? No. So it's good just to go through these moments. They're on the board in 1 Timothy 4:10 and 1 Timothy 1:1, it says the following. Just realizing that for us as Christians, we have our hope set on the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And then because Jesus Christ is our hope. So we need to, before we move on, we need to make clear that Jesus Christ is our hope and where our hope should be. We're going to camp around trust this morning, not hope, but we just had to quickly stop at hope, make sure that everybody wants a hope. Everybody has hope, or at least are seeking for that hope. But our hope is in Him. And then here's the thing, is that if you have hope, for me to have a hope, there needs to be trust. If there's no trust, guys, there will be no hope. If there's no trust in my marriage, there will be not too much hope for my marriage. If there's no trust in our friendship, there's not much hope for the success of our friendship. If there's no trust in the economy, there's not much hope for the economy. Remember, that's not where our hearts are, but it's easy to say. If I do not trust the police force or whomever should protect me, there might not be too much hope for it. And so in all spheres of life, you can just use this very easy formula. It's 101, but it's good just to use it. So today I'll quickly share about the T's of trust. Say T's of trust. Great. Most of us are still awake. T's of trust. Now, trust is the following. It's a firm belief in the reliability, truth, and ability of someone or something. This morning, we held up our hearts to God, saying, Lord, we know these good things about you. We know it's settled in the Spirit. We know it's truth as rock. But our hearts get knocked. It gets hurt. It gets seared. It gets hardened because of sin, because of our own iniquities, yes, but because of hurt, also because of sin. And then we struggle to see that. But trust is necessary, or at least it's good to just come back and make sure that we still have a firm belief in the reliability and truth and the ability of God in this case. I just said to you, very simply, you cannot trust someone if you do not know them. This is not maybe the deepest statement that you hear all day or all week. But it's most assuredly one of the most important things of your life. Hope, and to have a hope, there needs to be trust. And for trust, trust can also and only be formed if we know each other. I can only and I will only trust God as far as I know Him. And by the way, this today is not a law. It's not something that you need to go out and do. It is, remember what we said earlier in ministry time, it is seeking, knocking, asking. Just be honest, saying, Lord, I struggle with hope. Hence, is there trust in my heart for you? Not much, or at least nothing in this area, God. Then I need to get to know your character in this area. If I, as we sang earlier and as was ministered, Lord, if I do not trust you with regards to provision, I have not hope. I have no hope with regards to provision. Then chances are pretty well I don't know God in the area of provision. I might say hallelujah, amen, and like your Facebook post, but I have no clue actually who He is when it comes to Jehovah Jireh. I don't know Him. If, like in my case, my mom and dad were separated, my father didn't live with us. So I got to know God as a real good communicator because I chatted to my dad over the phone daily. Yet when it came to Emmanuel, God with me, it was a struggle for me because my dad was not at home. He was on the phone. And so I connected with God and spoke to Him very easily, heard His voice easily, but to know that I'm safe, to know that He's with me and my family was a challenge. Why? That's just where my heart was at. I didn't know Him in that area. It wasn't mimicked. It wasn't discipled in my life. My dad wasn't there. Bless him. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there. He didn't put off the lights. He didn't lock the doors. He didn't check that everything was fine. He wasn't there. Hence, when I got to know God, when I needed to have a trust and a hope in the area of safety and security, very basic for a small boy, it was lacking. And so you can go through your life and just go check and say, Lord, yes, I acknowledge here's a bit of a problem. I have no hope in this area. I have no hope for this circumstances, no hope for this relationship. Hence, do I actually trust you? Not really. Maybe I don't know you in this area. I want to get to know you. Please knock, seek, and ask. Let's quickly look at some scripture. 1 Samuel 17. Now, you know the story. We've stood still on this once or twice before, but maybe not in all detail of today. And here's just a good example for us through Scripture. Now, Israel were fighting. They were fighting the Philistines in a massive battle, but it was a bit of a headlock or they locked at loggerheads and not moving forward because Goliath was standing on the one side and obviously ridiculing and defying the armies of God daily, every morning. This having a shout off towards God and His people, Israel, and they were just also fearful because He was a massive, big, giant of a soldier. You know the story. We're not going to go into too much detail. And yet, on the other side, or not too far from there, we presume David. Who knows David? We all know David. David was a shepherd's boy, and he was tending the flock. Okay, cool. So he was chilling out. He wasn't even close to the battle, as you know. And so his father, Jesse, one morning said to him, and I read there, he did it more than once, but called him over and said, hey, Boetman, sê net gou-gou die toebroodjies en die blou eiers gou-gou vir jou broers vat daar by die army. as they're fighting. Well, they're not actually fighting. They're probably just eating and chilling out and fearing. And so he settled up and quickly ran over to the area of battle. And there he overheard this mocking, this defying of God and of his people by Goliath. And he was like, "What gaan hier aan? What's all of this about?" And he was, it was very strange for him, because here we've got the army of the Lord, we've got Israel, the army camp of Israel, and this guy is defying and mocking them, and they're actually just standing back, and he's like, "What the heck?" And as he's questioning this and being intrigued by the fact that they're doing nothing, that they're saying nothing, his brother says the following, verse 28. David's oldest brother, Eliab, listened as he spoke to the men and became angry with him. "Why did you come down here?" he asked. "Who did you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness?" He's obviously looking down at him. "I know your arrogance and your evil heart. You came down to see the battle." And you just see how with the eyes of the flesh, he just comes and he just mocks David. The first attack, just upon his character and his calling in this moment. David said to him, "What have I done? What have I done now?" protested David. "It was just a question." Then he turned from those beside him and the others in front of him and asked about the offer. That just refers to what the man would get who fights Goliath. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. I want to just move on to verse 33, just for time's sake. But Saul replied when he said, obviously David wanting to fight the Philistine, fighting Goliath, "You can't go fight the Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young." In other words, a second guy just questioning and attacking his ability, character, and actually who God is in this moment. David answered Saul, and listen up now. There's two things that we're going to take home today. The one is coming up. "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion and a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it is reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it." When last have you guys, sorry, any of the maybe the ladies as well, but when last have you killed a bear or a lion? Not a castle, a bear or a lion. Okay, not long ago. Cool. "Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Just see that passion and zeal. I love it. I love it. Then David said, "The Lord who rescued..." Listen up, guys. Listen up. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." The Lord who rescued me there will rescue me here. The hope I carry in me is because of the trust that I have in my heart. My eyes can see because my heart has trust for hope to be before me. And he's saying that to an army. He's saying that to the king. He's saying to hundreds of people that cannot see it. Let's be honest. Sometimes God is calling you into a place, into something that nobody around you is going to see. That's okay. Not saying don't be accountable, but sometimes God does that. Moving on. Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David. To see how the flesh comes again. The problem solving comes again. The human ability comes again. Then Saul said, "Here's my military clothes, put it on David." Because yeah, he came from the field. Hy het gekom met toebroodjies en sappies van woolies. Ek weet nie, but he didn't have armor on. He put a bronze helmet on David's head and had him put on his armor. David strapped the sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. "I can't walk in these." Just imagine that. Here's the guy that will save the armies of the living God. He kan nie lekker pas in die klere nie. Just imagine all of your hope pending upon this young lad. And he says, "Ek pas nie lekker in die klere nie, oom. I'm not used to them." So David took it off. Instead, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his pouch in his shepherd's bag. Then, with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And so, you know the rest of the story. We don't have time. And then he strikes down Goliath and then kills him with his own sword. just down in I see I highlighted, let's read why I highlighted it, verse 47. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. It's something that David said to Goliath just before he killed him. He just said, I'm just coming as an instrument. I'm just coming because I've got backup. I'm just coming because I've got a father. I'm just standing here because I have trust. I'm just standing here because I have a hope. I'm just standing here because I have seen this God kill the bear and the lion. I'm just standing here with five stones and a sling. And so I believe today there's two things that we should take home when, remember, we're trusting about the T's of trust. Now the first thing is, when we're talking about trust is, and this part I'm quickly going to say, guys, if you need to grow in trust, here's the first thing. Trust God's testimony. What is God's testimony? Here's God's testimony. Trust His story. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. As he has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God does not lie. We all held up hearts this morning that might have in a moment or in a couple of moments experienced seasons where we thought, God, you probably have lied to me, or God, you've missed this one. You've never missed anything, but you kind of dropped the ball on this one. No. We always need to go back to the Word. We cannot go everything. My doctrine, guys, even if you have success in healing or those ministry gifts and spiritual gifts that God is, this morning, I believe, this downloading into us, even if you have great success, our doctrine cannot be based on our experience. Listen closely. Our doctrine cannot be based primarily on our experience. It needs to be based on the Word of God. That needs to be the foundation. Otherwise, it might start off pretty well, but it gets wonkier after a couple of years. Your doctrine based upon the Word of God. So if I don't see healing, if I don't see my wife healed when I pray for her a million times, it does not take away from the character of God. Something else might be up. Not might be, something else is up. It's for me to knock, to seek, and to ask. But the question mark is not in front of his door, it is in front of my door. And it's not to be, anyway, that's a sermon for another day. But our doctrine needs to be based upon the Word of God and upon what He says. I once told you about, I've told you about Malmesbury and this is 3.5 years of being without income and just going through that season, knowing that God is doing something but not understanding everything. And then you'll look at other faith-filled, amazing Christians or people that you know or hear of or you see or hear about their story, and they've walked out in faith and they've trusted God and they've gone and they've moved and they've done these things, and it didn't work out. It failed. And so it's as if the enemy just constantly highlighted these examples to me. And I remember very distinctly in Malmesbury driving up Voortrekker Road, just exactly there, close to the BP, where God just, in my spirit, just showed me my red Bible, the other one. He just showed me in my spirit, in my heart. I just saw the Word. And He said, these are your examples. Because Pity might have walked out in faith, I'm moving up into Africa, going to plant a church in Malawi. God is showing me visions of millions, etc., etc. And you just see, well, Pity's life just falls apart and things doesn't happen. I'm not knocking Pity. But the bottom line is, we don't know the full story. We never know the full story. I'm not daily in Pity's binnekamer. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is convicting Pity of. I'm not sure what hidden sin, what other stuff is going on, what pride is in his heart. He might look like the sweetest little thing in Malawi, but I don't know the full story of Pity. I'm not saying we should not look at testimonies of other people, but when the fruit is not there, when things have gone pear-shaped or down south, be very careful to lend out your ears. The enemy is the father of lies. In other words, he's the father that steals hope and steals trust. Put in other words, what are we longing for this morning? We're longing for hope based in trust. We're longing for eyes to see. Not to say that when something didn't work out, we just put it under the carpet. No, we're authentic. we bring our hearts and say, they hurt. Because somewhere we have missed it. We're honest. We're not gonna be fake about it. But we're not going to lend out our ears and our eyes, our hearts, to testimonies that are not based, or at least not of the Lord. That's the first thing. God's testimony will build trust. Other T, your times, your tests, and your testimonies. Your times, your tests. We've got very little time. Thank you, Jesus. Your times, your tests, and your testimonies. Where are you going to build trust? In your times, in your tests, and with your testimonies. I went through a tough patch a couple of weeks or months ago. I think I told you the story. And then I went back 2 years, 2.5 years in my journals. And I started to read what God has said. And he reminded, even about this church, what he said before we even know where we were going to move. Just how God just spoke to us. How he just gave words. How he just gave scriptures. How people just prayed over us. Prophesied over us. I went through it. It took me hours. And I've made little notes about it. It is the testimonies. It's the gold. It's the petrol that lights the fire in my heart again. What is the times? Going back to David. Firstly, his journal. What was written in his journal? Lion null, David Ian. Beer null, David Ian. That was written in his journal. God came through today, saved my bacon again. Thank you, Jesus. Love you. David. I don't know if he wrote like that in his journal, but you know what I'm saying. He had stuff written in his journal. Guys, even if you don't remember them, you have things written in the journal of your life. You have amazing testimonies written, testimonies of hope, testimonies of God's voice, testimonies of potential and truth in your life. Remind yourself of them. Now, speaking of time, David, he had a lot of time. He spent time with God where? Out in the field. I cannot, again, cliche, but let's take it home. I cannot grow in trust if I do not grow in relationship. I cannot grow in relationship if I have no time to spend. If I don't spend time with the Lord, this is not rocket science. Please hear my heart in love. You say, but Lord, I'm struggling for hope. I'm struggling for trust. Well, spend time with him. And today is not to say, here's a bit of a false yoke. Go trust the Lord. No. It's just saying, God, I want to. I want to grow in this. Not like Retief is doing it, or this, or that person. I want to spend time with you. Because David spent time with him. I said, yeah, not only God is not only the God of the big moments. Near my heart this morning, last week we spoke about big moments. I like big moments. But God is not only the God of the big moments. God is a God of the small moments accumulated. I really believe we need to take heed. If you talk about stewardship, you talk about finance, you talk about time management, being a great leader, you can think about what the ways in which the world does things excellently. Well, just take it back spiritually. Yes, God is there in the big moments, but he is. In your life, rack up that times with him. Because all of those small moments that you do together, that small moments that you have together, that small moments out in the field for David tending the sheep, he didn't kill a lion and a bear every day. But there were small moments where he played the harp, where God showed him metaphors and pictures through the way in which he shepherded, in which God used nature. There was moments in which you probably wrote to the Lord. I have no idea. But those times spent, those little moments together with the Lord accumulates and gives us great, great trust and relationship with him. Moving on, lastly, to the testimonies. Guys, what is the things that are hanging against your wall? What is it through fear? What is it in your mirror that you've accumulated with the Lord? Remember, if you don't ever walk in faith, if we're so trapped in our culture, doing things the way our culture does, that they never walk out in any area of life in faith, you're not going to build trust. If there's no area in your life where you're actually not in control, where you're not walking in faith, you're not going to grow in trust. Sorry. If you go look at the definitions of trust and faith, by the way, they're not exactly the same. I believe trust is a fruit of faith. I don't have time that we can go in depth into this. Go read it up if you're interested in it. But if you do not walk in faith with the Lord, you're not going to grow in trust. It's only through faith that you're going to please the Lord. That's what we're called to do. Yet our culture tells us, no, you need to do these things and you'll be fine. You'll be what? Safe and secure. If you do these things and you have control, you'll be safe and secure. With all due respect, though, tell that to a couple of people that just lost their homes and everything they had about safe and secure. Yoma santam. Even santam. Look to the Lord. Ask Him. I'm not knocking. By the way, I've got short-term insurance. This is not an ad either. Walk with the Lord. But just make sure, what is the bed, the ground bed, the foundation upon which we lay things? David had the following in verse 37. Then David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Can you say that in the moment of adversity? When you're facing the mountains, when you're facing the headwinds. Moving up and closing down. Last thing I believe is important is in trust is God has given you the tools. You might be facing some scenario, you might be on your way facing a Goliath, but I want to tell you, God has given you the tools. God has not given you my tools, and He has not given you your tools to me. This is also such a challenge in marriage sometimes. I cannot give my tools to Edna and Edna's tools to me in doing the work of the Lord. Why am I saying this? Verse 38. Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David. David strapped the sword, etc. And he said, I cannot walk in these. I'm not used to them. So David took them off. Instead, he took his staff, and then it says he took his stones and he took his sling. What is your stones and your sling? What has God been doing in your life all these years? What has He been saying? What is the way in which He speaks to you? I don't have to mimic. I don't have to be like, bless Him, but use Him as an example, Angus. I can't. I need to be me. I need to be me. Just as you need to be you. Now, here's a very fine line. Because I believe if you don't have humility in this approach, it can go pear-shaped. Because what happens then? There's a rebellion, and then you say, well, nobody can teach me anything. I say, be who you are, but still be teachable. Be who you are, but still be accountable. It's such a fine line, I know. But it's, I believe, a godly one. David could have tried to go fight Goliath with Saul's armor, but it would have been an absolute disaster. And in fact, we'd have never read about it. Because it would not have been such a great story. What is the two things that we're taking home today from this story is, guys, what are the times spent? Do we have the David type times, testimonies and tests that we've gone through with the Lord? And the second most important thing is, He's been busy in your life for much longer than you think. Don't despise that. Don't look to other people in the way they do it. Don't look to their swords, their armor. Know that He's been busy. If your armor and the way in which you've done it does not bear fruit, ask questions. Let's be honest. Then God might be bringing some changes. But if it's been bearing fruit in your life and you can see God's hand and testimony through your sling and your stones, why change it? If they bear fruit. And I believe that's important. Will you guys stand with me, please? And so, I was tested this week after a brilliant Sunday last week, and I was so thankful. Monday morning, as I said, Edna, down and out, and I've said it before, I'm really thankful for her, but my thankfulness was just like thankfulness quadrat this week, and I just realized how much I needed in all areas of life, subject to, obviously, God and Christ. But she was down and out, and firstly, that was my concern. And then secondly, practically, it had a massive knock-on effect because now I had to do everything that she usually does, and that is a lot of stuff to do. AB can say amen. I've probably moaned at him before. I don't know. But and so God spoke to me on Tuesday when everybody was shouting, hospital, ER, go, test, blah, blah, blah. You're like, stop, almost still. You just quiet down the voices. And he said, God, speak to me. And he said to me, 3 days. And he said to me a couple of other details, just prophetically what he believes it is. And so now you may need to make the call. But in that moment, luckily I had a journal. Luckily I had lions and bears. Luckily my hope and my trust was not based upon, oh, I don't want to pay for the hospital, or this is a good idea, or somebody else said this that I think is cool. But there's time spent that we could hear from the Lord. And likewise, Edna went to God and heard from him. And correlation. Thank you. I'm going to pray for me for some gift afterwards as well. But so there was a correlation between what we heard. Because the world and everybody are shouting one thing. And by the way, as with the finance, as with the insurance, let me just put in the disclaimer. I love doctors. Not too much. I love what they do. Bless hospitals. Not in love with hospitals, but it's got its function. And I believe many times God works with that. So it's not one or the other all the time. But in this case, it's God first. Like in my family, it will always be God first. When it comes to finances, when it comes to time, when it comes to big decisions, small decisions, when it comes to health, it's God first. We chat with him first. That's just the way. So please, hear my heart and hear the balance in what I say. Don't walk out here with anything less. So it was just God first, and God did not say that that is what we needed to do. And so Thursday morning arrived, having this hope. God said 3 days, Wednesday had passed. And so now Thursday morning she said, well, it's just as bad as the previous 3 days. And I'm like, Lord, what did I hear then? What is this? And so I went to the shops. I had to go buy stuff. And about three times I'll just stop in Dischem and I'll just start praying. And I'm like, Lord, please speak to me. Because now these voices of confusion just comes in your emotions. It's like, no, God, your sheep will know your voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Speak to me. And it was such a battle until I just realized, well, God did speak to me. So where am I going to put my focus upon the symptoms now? Or am I going to trust you? So I go back home with faith, saying, I'm not going to hurk and pluck and say, hartle bron. But before I even speak to her, she said, I believe we should pray and we should take communion. And immediately I knew, okay, great. Because 3 days have passed and we don't see the change. And so we go into prayer, we take communion. She prays a couple of things, poof, the spirit pitches. After that, handomkeer. Now, she's not running the comrades yet. There's still a little bit of the niggle, and she needs to rest. But as it was going like this, it went like that. When we just stood up and said, this is what our God has spoken. This is the way that he's dealt with us all these years. He will not leave us or forsake us now. And so it's a work in progress. But in that moment, I just realized, and the peace just came to my heart, and I knew, yes, this thing is broken. This battle is done. We're walking it out. She's resting up. But this battle is done. So what is he doing in your life? What is the hope that the enemy tried to steal? And if there's no hope, will you ask the question about trust? And when you ask the question about trust, will you just remind yourself, but he's been there all along. If you don't have that many testimonies, awesome. Go and make them. If you say, well, my cupboard's empty, accountability. I say, just ask. He's not condemning anybody today. He's just saying, if you don't have ammunition, just ask. Let's make some ammo together. Let's sharpen your sword together. Let's get the tests and those testimonies together. And then let's not look to other people. Yes, let's connect with them. Let's hear from them. Let's be teachable. But let's not compare ourselves. Let's stay true to what God has given us and prepared in our life, humbly and teachably, because he cannot use a prideful spirit. And sorry, you might think that this is very unique, but pride is not very unique, and it's not used in the kingdom. So you're going to run into trouble there. So it's a fine line, but I'm not going to not say it, because I believe it's the truth. He calls you also as an individual, with individual makeup, individual tools. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you've sowed your seed, that they will fall into fresh, good, moist ground, and they will bear fruit. In Jesus' name, these seeds will not be stolen. Thank you, God, that you'll make us a people of hope to see potential, people of hope to live in faith, and a people that trust you because we know you. Not because pity knows you. Not because my wife or my husband or my mother knew you, but because I know you. May our children also know you. Not because we know you first and foremostly, because they know you. They've tasted and known that you're good. May we have trust built upon time truly spent with you. And I believe, I can't believe that there's anybody that do not want to grow in relationship and knowledge and trust this morning. So Lord, we just lift up our heart and say, God, we want to be a people that grow in trust. Seeing and regarding things according to the Holy Spirit and not the flesh. Living lives like David, pleasing unto the Lord. A man after God's heart. And with hearts that are light. And that can see your goodness in Jesus' name. We thank you for your blood over us. We thank you that you will have your way in us, our families, and in this community in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome, guys. If you want personal prayer afterwards, please come. And then whatever the gift is God has given you, keep on knocking and saying, Lord, give me opportunity to walk in this. Pray for the sick. Trust him for a word or a vision or something very specific for somebody at work or in church. Let's work in this and let's trust him to grow us in trust. God bless. Enjoy the week.